7:30 PM. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Ms. Del Kemper?
Here.
Ms. Feldman?
Here.
Mr. Newkirk?
Here.
Ms. Williams?
Here.
Mr. Witt?
Here. Is there a motion to approve tonight's meeting agenda?
Yes, Mr. Witt, I move that the Board of Education approves the agenda for the special meeting of April 10th, 2014, as presented.
Second?
I second it.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Ms. Del Kemper?
Yes.
Ms. Feldman?
Yes.
Mr. Newkirk?
Yes.
Ms. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Witt?
Yes. Our first and only agenda item tonight is negotiations with district employee associations for 1 hour. Is there a motion to move into executive session?
Yes, Mr. Witt, since this does involve negotiations with district employee associations, I move that the Board of Education move into executive session to discuss negotiations with the district employee associations pursuant to Colorado Revised Statute 246-4024E.
Is there a second?
I second.
Roll call. I'm sorry, discussion? Discussion?
Last week, we heard from many community members as they spoke about our divided district, how we needed to come together and the need to stop the us-them mentality. And once again, we need to become a we district. Our focus must be on all children. As leaders in this district, we must begin to rebuild the lost trust with our teachers and our community. Negotiations are in open session in order to be more transparent, and I believe in order to be consistent with that transparency, we must discuss our guidance in open sessions rather than in executive sessions. It is important for everyone, teachers, staff, community, and everyone, to hear our commitments and our intentions.
Other discussion?
I would add a quick thought to that. I think Mrs. Feldman has said it well. The board has repeatedly stressed the importance of accountability and transparency. Our community has called for even greater transparency and accountability. When JCA approached this board for open negotiations, it was in the spirit of increased transparency. And I think we've already had a couple of executive sessions on this topic. I think as a board, we also have to be thoughtful. We have to be judicious about when we go into executive session and when we talk about issues in public. As these negotiations have been in open session, as the board has already voted last Thursday on what it wanted to do regarding salary increases, I am very comfortable having a public conversation about what our different options are and what those look like. I don't think now is the time to talk behind closed doors.
Mr. Branham or Dustin? I'm sorry. Wait, you're your last name, right? Sparks. Mr. Sparks. Are there any concerns that we need to be aware of at this point about what we can and cannot cover in this agenda item if we do it in public?
Well, I mean, I think the purpose of the executive session, the statutory purpose of the executive session, is for the board to instruct negotiators and to determine positions that you're going to take in negotiations. And my experience is that it's very difficult to do that in an open session with the board. It's very difficult to explore different options, to try out different theories, if you will, about what the negotiation positions on various issues should be. And I don't believe that you can actually have that conversation in an open session. And I understand the points you're making and the concerns that you're raising. And I fully support the notion of transparency in board action, board business. But I think it's important to understand and to note that the statutory provision that's being used tonight to move into executive session, or that was the basis for the motion, is specifically to instruct negotiators. And by its very nature, negotiation is a back and forth, or should be a back and forth, should be a back and forth with a goal in mind. And I think it undermines the purpose of negotiations, and one of the things that we need to talk about tonight, which is the impasse procedure and the mediation portion in particular of the mediation of the impasse procedure, I think it's very difficult for the board to have an open conversation about that and to instruct its negotiating team, which I think it needs to do in this case. Yes, Ms. Bell.
I'm wondering if there might be a place, it looks like there's a presentation, and that might be open to all, and then as we get it, when we get to the point where we are actually giving the instructions, because I don't know that we have actually given instructions. We've learned about different things in our executive sessions. If that would be an appropriate time then to move into it, but as we can learn from them, perhaps that's when it's open.
I have a different perspective. I deeply appreciate your perspective, and I appreciate your sharing with us what the pros and cons are of this decision. I feel very strongly that the process has changed as we've moved into open negotiations. And I think that as we've had conversations about transparency, as we've had questions from our community, we've also had conversations as a board about what salary increases should look like. There was a vote taken just last Thursday about that. So I feel very comfortable talking about what those different options might look like, and then we as a board can make decisions. So that would be the perspective that I would put on the table. So I would support keeping those conversations open.
I understand we lost Mr. Miller, so I
came back up.
Stop the conversation until.
I would also imagine our public would be interested in terms of what the next steps look like regarding the impasse and the timeline. I'm really sorry.
They'll be calling back.
Thank you for calling back.
Okay, you're on.
So Mr. Branham has advised us that the significant portion of the negotiation discussion is very difficult to have in public. It's not well served to have the open dialogue that's necessary to formulate and models and explore models. At that point, I think Mr. Stallman, Dahlkemper suggested that we continue with public session anyway. Mr. Miller, I would appreciate your opinion as well in terms of the constraints that we might have or not have if we continue with public session.
I strongly urge you to conduct the advice to negotiators portion of this very, very important session in an executive session. It's incumbent and it's in the best interest of the district, and recognizing that this board has to acknowledge and support a number of different disparate interests, the edifice itself, the teacher certainly, the community. Your fiduciary duty requires that you manage this in the most professional manner possible, that you give your negotiators the right leverages, the right understandings, and that you have an open dialogue amongst yourselves. This is really critical. I can't urge you strongly enough that you must do this in an executive session.
I find doing that part in an executive session, I think learning together is something we can do openly.
Well, I would agree with Mr. Miller that we want to have an open conversation, and I would recommend that we have that conversation in open session. Again, I can't repeat enough, this board, without revealing what we've discussed in past executive sessions, has covered a number of bases that are key to our conversations. And the board was very clear in its direction to Ms. Gillis regarding salary and compensation for the teachers. I think in the best interest of our community that is asking questions and challenging the transparency of this board, that now is not the time to do business behind closed doors. And if anything, we need to bring this community back together as we move forward and think about what's in the best interest of children. I would add one footnote. Mr. Miller, I appreciate your being with us. It does concern me that you're joining this executive session by phone.
And not in executive session, Ms. Dahlkemper?
Would Mr. Miller leave if he went into executive session?
No, but your comment is not appropriate right now.
Right.
Since we don't do board members calling in on
we would want our attorney to join us, the board's attorney to join us by phone.
I do have some clarification I'd like to ask from Mr. Miller and Mr. Branham, that Colorado Revised Statute 24-6-4024B specifically permits or requests, I guess, for specific legal questions when we're seeking advice from legal counsel that we move into executive session as well. If we find ourselves going down that road getting specific legal advice, at what point would it be appropriate then for executive session if we're not in it already?
Well, if you were going to do that, Mr. Newkirk, sorry, Brad, if you want to go first. The basis of the motion that's currently before the board was for the purpose of discussing negotiations, instructing negotiators. If you get to a point, even in that executive session or in an open session around that discussion, where you felt you needed legal advice, you would have to entertain a motion on that basis, announce that basis as well as that statutory provision, and go into executive session at that point. The statute permits you to go into executive session at any time from any special or public meeting.
Thank you. Anything to add to that, Mr. Miller?
Certainly what Mr. Brown had to say is exactly accurate. I'll further note that you are at a special meeting, which would then require more than a two-thirds majority, but all of you to accord to moving in executive session. But until that point, it really does quash our opportunity as your attorneys to respond to legal questions. We have to be pretty circumspect about the sorts of things we could assist with. But more to the point, your duty, in my view, is to the entirety of the district, and that represents the entire community. And while the teachers certainly deserve and have expressed an interest in hearing a certain level of open communication, that doesn't and should not extend to matters of determining negotiating strategies and freely discussing leverages and possible directions that your future negotiations could take and how to anticipate and what to do in response. It's again my strongest caution to you that you should be giving advice to Amy and the other negotiators in a confidential session, and that's what the statute specifically provides for.
Thank you. I guess I will add that it's my understanding that that 5.6.1 of the agreement says that when we actually move to mediation, it will be conducted in closed sessions. I think it's very unfortunate and disappointing that the Teachers Association has decided to declare impact, pushing us into a process that will require closed sessions when we so ardently attempted to keep these open negotiations. And I fully intend to keep open as much as we can and still be prudent and maintain the best interests of all of the stakeholders in negotiation. So in terms of providing us with advice concerning the process, just explaining to us what the process is for mediation, I have no problem with continuing with that dialogue before we go into an executive session. When we get to negotiation and directing negotiation, that is contemplated in the statute as being an appropriate use of executive session, and I think it's important that we maintain and fulfill our fiduciary responsibilities to the district, to the parents, as well as to all of the stakeholders that are involved, and make certain that we in fact have an open dialogue and are able to properly formulate our opinions in an informed manner prior to going into negotiation. I think that's an appropriate use of the closed session, of the executive session, sorry. So we have a motion and a second, and we have discussion. We need to close out this vote. Roll call.
Ms. Del Camper?
No.
Ms. Spelman?
No.
Mr. Newkirk?
Yes.
Ms. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Wynn?
Yes. As we've heard from our legal counsel, executive session is the appropriate thing to be doing here. We've heard it both from district counsel, and we've heard it from board counsel. It is unfortunate that this board has not been able to listen to the advice of its counsel, but at this point, let's proceed with the description of the process for impasse.
Great. I've prepared some slides only to focus our discussion. We seem to group at midnight and not have a lot of focused conversation. It's really critical that we get through these items today so that we can make progress as a district. So this is nothing that you have not heard. It's just really a tool to keep us focused on what we're doing. I certainly have copies if you'd like me to pass them around to the board. If people would like to have that in front of them as well, that would be easy to do. And I'm going to pass around one other item for the board, which is the part of the negotiated agreement. Did you guys, there's enough for the board. I don't know how many other people are taking them, but there were 10. If you have your agreement with you, you will not need this, but it is specifically Article 5 out of the negotiated agreement with JCA. And I think it's really important that we have reference to that as we step through these materials. So to catch you up, if you saw my summary that came through, JCEA did declare impasse this Monday night at our negotiation session based on compensation items. That was based on their read of board priorities set the prior Thursday. So when the board priorities set in a public meeting on the prior Thursday took the compensation line item, if those priorities hold through the budget process, to a level that did not allow for steps, which is what they came to the table wanting, they read a statement and declared impasse. So that's what happened this past Monday, and it's really important that you understand what that means from a contract perspective. Next steps around that are defined in the contract, and we're going to look through what those are, and Mr. Branham is certainly here to help us navigate through that as we go. So let's actually show you where those are. It's the critical parts have been highlighted. They start on page 2, under 5.5 and 5.6. The definition of when we're at impasse is a little loose, not only in our contract, but in federal laws and such. So again, the one party declared impasse. The district team did not declare an impasse, but at this point, we were not making progress around this particular item at the table. So based on what's in the contract, it talks about moving into mediation. And if you look at 5.5.1, I think the piece that's important to recognize is that we can submit to mediation fact-finding for the purpose of getting the district and the association to reach a voluntary agreement. So it's not a process where we're letting someone else decide or we're being forced to decide. There is still that encouragement that both sides need to come together in dialogue and reach a solution. The two teams would prefer to use Dennis Doherty, who's our current mediator. He's with the Federal Mediation Services. Both teams trust and respect him. He does mediation. He does not do fact-finding.
Question here. I believe as we move through this process, mediation is the first step, but then we would have to progress to fact-finding if we did not get to a point of mutual agreement through mediation. I would have significant concern proceeding at this point with a mediator who is not willing to see the process through fact-finding.
Did you want to jump in?
Well, I would note that it's fairly typical that you would not be using the same person to mediate the dispute as you would as a fact-finder. Some of them do that, some wear both hats, but it's far more typical that you would start with a mediator, someone like Dennis, who would attempt to bring the parties together and reach resolution on issues, and then if that's not successful, then a separate person would be brought in to do fact-finding. But you'll note that your agreement speaks in terms of a mediator slash fact finder. So you can't do that. I'm just, my experience is it would be uncommon to have the same person performing both functions. But
When Jason, I'm sorry. Can we ask Mr. Miller to weigh in on that?
Yes, Mr. Miller.
So I had a little bit of a hard time hearing Amy's last piece. I could hear what Jim just said. If the question, so as I understand it, the question is it prudent to identify a new person who can support both the mediation and fact-finding? And from my perspective, given where things lie at this point, I think it's a legitimate choice on the part of the board to consider having someone who can do both pieces. And it's my understanding that the current mediator would not be either willing or able to conduct fact-finding. I'm not sure what the circumstance around that was.
I have a follow-up question. I just want to clarify. Did JCEA say that they would agree to having Dennis both mediate and fact-find, or mediate?
It's an issue with Dennis. The federal mediation services will not do fact-finding. He will only do mediation.
Okay.
So JCEA is in support of using Mr. Doherty to do mediation.
Okay. And the other piece that I would add is I had the pleasure of working with Mr. Doherty when we were in the last two budget summits. And I think he is very thoughtful. I think he works very hard to find common ground. There are some tough conversations along the way, but I think he's very skilled in terms of mediation. So if the next step is mediation, and then later a phase of fact-finding, and then possibly arbitration down the road, depending on how things progress, we would hope we would get there. I would be supportive knowing what I know of him and working with him firsthand through some pretty difficult issues.
Ms. Feldman?
Like we said, we've said before, the threat of going further is not going to impede our decision making. And right now we have a mediator that both teams have agreed on, so it would make sense to me to continue with that and, you know, follow the process. Should we need to find a fact finder, we'll find a fact finder, but we're not going to let that be what drives our actions.
Ms. Williams?
Do we have to accept impasse? Can we demand to continue with open negotiations? Because at this point, we don't even know what the state funding is going to be. I mean, when we talked about the budget, those were placeholders. And I think that it's kind of jumping the gun when we really don't know what the district's budget is truly going to be until that legislation is complete.
If the board gave us direction tonight that indicated that the board was interested and willing to talk to the associations about the potential for steps, I believe the association team would come back to the table and continue bargaining. Absent that direction and absent any new funding that, again, the board would be willing to publicly say they would be having a conversation about, I do not think they would come back to the table.
Let me ask you this, Ms. Weber. Do you think, two questions. One is a clarifying question, and one has to do with the point that you just put on the table regarding steps. The clarifying question is it my understanding that according to the contract, that if one side declares impasse, whether it's our side or JCEA, that you move forward with it, it is an impasse?
Not specified at all.
It's not specified. It's not in the contract.
It's what it specifically says is if the negotiations have reached an impasse.
And then one side can declare impasse. And then just a quick follow-up. What is your sense of whether the association would come back to the table if we talked about a 2-3% salary increase? Would that be another option that they would consider and that might bring them back into a conversation?
Having served on the negotiating team for a number of years, I do think that if we were to put on the table other compensation items that might look a little different but would be comparable to what might be a step, that they would consider coming back and talking about that in an open session, yes.
I guess my concern here is we did not declare impasse. We didn't even get to a conversation about compensation, any material discussion of compensation.
before the association chose to declare it a mess. So that is where we are. When I read 5.6.4, the specific language says, if mediation described in section 5.6 has failed to bring about agreement on all issues, the mediator fact finder, that would be a definite article, not an indefinite article, shall proceed with fact finding. It is my interpretation of that, and I need some help to find out whether or not I am off or on, that that is the same individual. There is no process contemplated for choosing a new individual at that point. Am I interpreting that correctly or misinterpreting it?
I think you've got to read all of 5.6 in context. And if you start at the beginning, you will see that there are clear reference to mediation first. So there's a process for mediation. It does refer to mediator fact finder, but you'll also note that further in that paragraph that you were looking at, it says that if either party objects to the person who conducted the mediation fact finder, continuing with the fact finding, that they go out and find another person to do that at that time.
What section is that? I'm sorry.
That's in
5.6.4.
5.6.4.
It's not highlighted. It's that next.
I'm sorry. Okay, the second half. All right.
But I think what Mr. Brandon was referring to is earlier on, it says mediate the disputes. It doesn't say mediate fact find. There's particular references where implied. So it's
I just want to make sure that we're not violating the agreement.
Yep.
Okay.
So,
section 5.5.1.1 or 1.1.2 and 3 do declare a process for identifying the mediator, mediation fact finder. And it doesn't, again, I believe it was Mr. Witt speaking about this. It seems pretty straightforward that it is a mediator fact finder that would be identified for this process.
And Evan, and help me if I'm reading this right, section 5-6-5 says within 5 school days after receiving a fact finding report of the mediator slash fact finder or the fact finder.
Right.
Which leads me to believe that it could, in fact, be two separate individuals. Is there some ambiguity here, Mr.?
There's no ambiguity. Again, in 5.6.4, it contemplates the mediator fact finder who has conducted the mediation, and then they can't resolve all the issues, that either party can object to that person continuing as the fact finder. And so you use the same process that's laid out in 5.5 to go through again to pick the next fact finder. To conduct the fact finding. So I don't think there is any ambiguity whatsoever.
So from the district's from the team's perspective, we think that there are some common points that we can get to agreement on through the mediation process. So the fundamental question that the board needs to ask is, what is your intent through this process? We can go to mediation fact-finding and it becomes just that, a fact-finding exercise. If we want to demonstrate that between the two teams we have some common ground and we can resolve those common issues, this is my best guess as to where we are with some of those issues. Again, to the point of the comment earlier about doing things in executive session versus open, I don't know if the JCA team would agree with this, but we think we're close on those top three items, that we can resolve those between the two teams through mediation. We think there are probably two fundamental issues that have been discussed at the table so far, compensation and the contract extension, which might need to go to fact-finding. But to the extent we can resolve some of them between the two teams, that might be what the board would prefer, or maybe not. That's a choice that this board needs to make and direct your team on.
Well, I would be delighted to see the association come back to the table. Not stick with impasse. I'd be delighted to see them potentially resolve the first three bullet items where we have some common ground. Items that we think are potentially unresolved, if in fact they feel like the declaration of impasse. I'm sorry. Would you please read for us the declaration of impasse? What did they say specifically when they declared impasse?
I do not have it, so I have to get it from Ms. Rossi. Okay. But it was around the compensation item.
Ms. Elkin.
I just want to be really clear. There was a comment made earlier that if we did go into mediation, that mediation would be behind closed doors. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I think it is in this board's best interest to do everything we possibly can to keep JCA at the table so we can continue with open negotiations. I think the good news is, as I read the summary, which is very helpful, thank you, is that we are very close, as you've just talked about, Ms. Weber. But we've got the bigger issues you pointed out regarding the extension of the contract and also the salary. And Mr. Witt, I have a different perspective, because in fact it does appear from page 2 under item 4 that there was a compensation discussion. This is directly from the memo. JCEA pointed out that based on the priorities set by the Board of Education, the amount of compensation dollars remaining was insufficient to provide a salary step on the salary schedule for employees represented by JCEA. And finally, Ms. Gillis acknowledged that based on priorities, the remaining amount would fund an average 1.5% increase for all employees. Our employees have gone without a compensation, without a salary increase for 4 years. I'd like to remind this board again that our employees took a 3%, all employees, bus drivers, school secretaries, principals, up to the superintendent, took a 3% compensation reduction.
And that's how they restored.
And they did that two years in a row. We were able to restore that last year, but they did not receive a salary increase. And I think one of the things that we have been very good about in JEFCO is that we've had a long tradition of promises made, promises kept. And those promises have been very thoughtful. They've been a reflection of what is always in the best interest of our 85,000 kids and the district. And I would encourage us to stay in open negotiations to see if this board can at least give Ms. Weber and the negotiations team the green light to put a 2-3% salary increase or some form of compensation on the table so we can continue these conversations. We have not had an impasse in a long time in this district.
We had an impasse in 2007, we had an impasse in 2009, and we've now had an impasse in 2014. That's 3 in the last 8 years, to be exact.
And it's not good for the district, Mr. Witt.
It is not. It's very not much a disappointment that the association has chosen to declare impasse.
It's
again.
A disappointment that this board has broken one of the promises that was made regarding salary increases. It's a disappointment that when we had our board meeting last Thursday, this board reduced the amount of salary, which sends the wrong message in terms of valuing our employees. That, to me, is the broader and bigger disappointment.
The board did not reduce the amount of salary.
No salary reductions have occurred
with this board.
Okay.
There's an $11.7 million placeholder, which is still there. And in the 2013 summit, the statement was that after PARA and legislatively mandated costs were incurred, the remaining funds would be considered for compensation. We simply honored that agreement.
I have a very different perspective, Mr. Witt.
Mr. Newkirk.
My understanding was the JCEA that originally asked for the open negotiations, and we did as well. The JCEA is continuing to ask for transparency from the board, and as we've heard from Ms. Dahlkemper and Ms. Fellman, there's a big interest in transparency and open negotiations. So would it be possible, Ms. Weber, and you think the JCEA would be open to issuing an MOU that would allow the mediation sessions also to be open?
I think that if you want open negotiations, that your best way to attain that is to have a robust discussion tonight on how much money we have to spend and how the board wants to see that spent. And if based on that discussion, there is something that JCA feels might be attractive from a salary perspective, I do think that they would be open to other salary alternatives, not steps. But if we don't get to the point where there's some agreement around the money, I do not know that they would want to do mediation in public, nor do I know if that would serve either party's best intentions to get a resolution.
And Amy, I'm not sure our mediator.
Our mediator wouldn't do it.
Will not do it in public, and that's likely the way most mediators work as far as effective mediation.
I think a critical thing to recognize here is that as we talk about these issues, this boils down to this board negotiating on assumptions about the other side with the absence of a mediator because of the declaration of impasse. That is neither appropriate nor prudent. We need to have mediation and we need to have real discussion. Either the JCEA can choose to come to the table and have open negotiations, which is in the best interest of everyone, or they can hold a position of impasse, at which point we need mediation to have a meaningful give and take conversation. Us sitting here and trying to reposition in a one-sided discussion is not in the best interest of this district, and it is not a proper process for negotiation. Ms. Dahlke.
Ms. Gillis, would you remind us what the total cost is of a 2% salary increase versus a 3% salary increase?
2% is about $10 million. 1% equates to about $1 million. $5 million. And 2% then is $10 million, just in round numbers.
1% is $5 million. So, if we were to look at a 2.5% increase, we're looking at about 12.5, give or take.
Yes.
Okay. Would this board be interested in at least coming back to the table and working in the area of a 2.5 salary increase in the neighborhood of $12.5 million?
So the difficulty with that math is I have $11.7 million in total compensation available.
I thought that was a placeholder.
We're a five-member board as well.
That's right. So I'm expressing my opinion on this math. And following through with those numbers, we have an $11.7 million compensation placeholder. We know there are some expenditures already out of that. What do we have left after those, Ms. Gillis?
Well, we have these options up here, if that helps people get focused. That's exactly what we did, is we started with the 11.725. We've heard multiple things discussed as far as from the para perspective. So option two is to reduce that by the 0.5 SAD, and you can see the other ones as you go across. There was a $500K placeholder for healthcare reform. You can see the bottom totals. These are the numbers that have been talked about publicly.
I would really love to hear from my other colleagues on the board regarding regarding the idea of a 12.5 compensation,
a public
and
meeting.
If that's something that would be open to other board members. We've heard Mr.
Ms. Dahlkemper, excuse me, you need to defer to the chair.
I deferred from the chair earlier.
You need to defer to the chair now.
I'm sorry,
Ms. Dahlkemper. If someone wishes to speak, they will ask to speak. It is not for you.
Mr. Witt, let me remind you that we are a five-member board. We're not a one-member board. We are a five-member board.
That is correct.
And at the very least, I would love to hear from my other colleagues on the board, from whom I have not heard, to see if we can continue to move forward in open negotiations. Can we do that?
Can you follow the rules of order that you've agreed to for this meeting and for all meetings of this board?
I would love to hear from the other colleagues.
Can you follow the rules of order that you have agreed to?
Thank you, Mr.
Are you able to follow the rules of order of a meeting, Ms. Dahlkemper?
Are you able to allow other board members sitting on either side of you to provide their opinion, Mr. Witt?
So you are unable to follow the rules of order of a public meeting.
And you are unable to allow others at the board table who've been elected to serve this community to provide their opinion? That's all I'm asking.
I will certainly recognize those members that wish to speak, as I always have. Ms. Solomon, I think you last
I absolutely think we need to look at that placeholder and think about increasing it. And I think what we all need to do is figure out how we can come back to our teachers and say, we want your trust, we want to earn your trust, we want to work with you, not against you. We want to come together. And how can we do that? I think by saying in public that we are willing to increase the placeholder that you have to make sure that they get a minimum of a 2.5 increase, I think would go a long way in building back that trust.
Ms. Williams.
So my question for you is this the appropriate time for us to be negotiating of what are we doing that now? Is this what we've deemed as appropriate, or are we doing this in executive session? I want to do the appropriate thing.
Well, as we said before, I certainly think that the board needs to have a dialogue and needs to come to some decision about how to instruct their negotiators or how to proceed in general. And I think, as I said before, the best place to do that is in an executive session.
And I understand that and I respect that, but we had a conversation in front of many people about having that as a placeholder in open board meeting. I don't understand how this is different, saying, let's have that placeholder, let's revisit that placeholder idea. I don't understand how this is different than that conversation that we had earlier.
Mr. Witt, if I may?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, and Ms. Feldman, I wasn't sure if you were done. I couldn't hear well. I'm wondering about a concern, and I will defer a little bit to Jim to think of, Mr. Branham to think about as well. But we are in a special meeting. We're being recorded. And at this moment, we've gone pretty far down the road to adding an agenda item without having universally agreed to add an agenda item to a special meeting, and again, that has to be by universal accord. If there's any effort afoot to take action, you certainly must amend your agenda, and you must all vote to agree to amend that agenda.
Sorry, this is a special question.
Otherwise, it's actually my recommendation that you. If you're not going to move into executive session, that you should probably end the meeting.
There was only one moment, Ms. Duncan, but there was only one agenda item on the agenda today for this special meeting. It was an executive session for negotiations with district employee associations. Yes, Ms. Duncan.
Mr. Miller, would you say a little bit more about your reference to a new agenda item on the table? What is that directly referring to? I'm sorry.
What I'm hearing is it was a discussion around the idea of having the board come to a consensus, effectively a vote, on items related to the negotiations. And I don't think I want you to not be anywhere near making a decision in without having amended your agenda to take an action.
And may I follow up with Mr. Branham? Is that your interpretation as well?
Well, the law is that at a special meeting, you can only discuss the business that the meeting was noticed for. The discussion that you've been having up until we got to this point, anyway, I think could properly be termed a discussion that would be a prelude to an executive session where the board instructed negotiators. So it was just a discussion among the board members. I agree with Mr. Miller, though, that if the board now would like to have a discussion about an item and take action to change something that the board did in an open meeting last week, I do think that that strays beyond the posted agenda and the posted notice of this special meeting and would take unanimous consent.
So, Mr. Branham, we would need to unanimously vote in favor of adding an agenda item to the board agenda to take a vote on this issue, if in fact that's what we felt we needed to do.
Yes.
So back to the topic at hand. We need to be careful not to enter into a decision here, but let's finish the conversation about procedure. Because that is specifically what we said we would do as we entered into this. Have we fully talked through the process piece? I'll tell you, I have not yet heard a description of how we pick our mediator and how we would move forward with the impasse process that has been declared.
I would really like us to consider a mediator who is willing to work in an open session. Certainly, it's been done somewhere in the past, and I think it would be worthy to at least investigate that.
Well, the contract specifically calls for mediation to occur in a closed session. So we have procedures that are mapped out in the contract that define how this works at this point.
We could propose to the association, I'm sorry, could we propose to the association that we proceed with mediation in open sessions?
I guess my question to the board is, at some point, the board needs to determine what you're trying to accomplish and how you're best going to accomplish that before you make a determination around open or closed. I'm not entirely clear about what people see as the value. I appreciate the transparency in the conversation. But at some point, if our goal is to move past impasse with as many items in agreement as possible, then I think we need to ask ourselves, what's the best way to get there? Our direction comes from you. My intent would be that we get the direction that your district team takes to the mediation from you, and that as long as we're aligned with what you're doing, that you can have confidence that we're representing what you desire and that we'll reach a settlement, if that's the intent, around the items we can, and then take those we can't to fact-finding. But at some point, you need to fundamentally determine what you're trying to accomplish throughout this.
I appreciate what you've said. When I try to parse that, when I try to think through the practicalities of that process, and I will roll around here. One of the difficulties I'm having is that is precisely the design of the mediation followed by fact-finding intent, as I interpret it, is to first try to get to mutual consent on some items through the mediation process, and if and only if that were to fail, to move into fact-finding, if I understand the present process. We have a negotiating party that has declared impasse, saying they are not satisfied with the present negotiation, and they want to move into that process. Ms. Dahlkemper. Ms. Feldman, I'm sorry, I saw both of your hands up.
I think it's really important for us to recognize that both parties picked this mediator, Mr. Doherty, and that they're willing to go to mediation with this individual. I think that's really important for us to remember. And I'm going to say it again, I really believe that we need to keep mediation separate from fact-finding.
I'm sorry, Ms. Dahlkemper, I think you had your hand up, is that right?
I did, and I would say, I would add to that, that before we even talk to mediation, about mediation, I'm sorry, that we circle back to where Ms. Weber began, which is the work that has been accomplished so far in terms of agreement with JCEA and the two outlying issues that are on the table, one of which is compensation. One of the things that we heard from our community as a board is that compensation was a priority both in the community survey and in the community engagement sessions. It came up consistently across the board. Employees have not seen a pay increase for 4 years. They took a compensation reduction. I, again, would encourage this board to think so we can stay in open negotiations and continue the process in good faith, that we consider a higher dollar amount, but one that is still balanced overall with the rest of the budget for salary compensation. So we don't even need to enter into the conversation about mediation and whether it's open and closed, but we can continue to work in a way that is collaborative in the best interests of the district overall.
My concern there is that that runs dangerously close to you negotiating on the side of the JCEA. It's very important that we honor the process of negotiation, and this kind of a discussion puts us in the position of negotiating both sides of the issue, because we have the other negotiating party out of the conversation because they've chosen to leave until we change our position without any discussion. That is their declaration of impasse. It concerns me greatly, Ms. Dahlkemper, when I hear you arguing for, if only we do this, the JCEA will come back to the table. I don't have that from the JCEA. I have a declaration of impasse from the JCEA. I would need to see that from them.
I would like to respond to that,
yes,
because I think that is an outrageous comment on your part. I think that you have made an assumption that is completely false. My comment to this board was to consider how we can get the district negotiations team back to the table. We have heard, and I will say it for the third or fourth time, Ms. Weber say, and we have it in our memo, that we are close. It would be a shame at this point to move into mediation without consideration by this board in direct response to our community, which said we have three priorities. And one of those priorities in a budget survey that 13,000 community members responded to was increased compensation.
And that's what we have a compensation line at.
And that was the same for the community engagement session.
Ms. Feldman.
Ms. Weber just...
I'm sorry, Mr. Miller.
I would, again, I'm going to defer to Mr. Branham, but I heard a reference to a memo, and it's my understanding that was a confidential memo. I want us to be careful around that.
We are in a public meeting.
Which memo? The negotiations update memo dated April 9th? It doesn't... Oh.
Yes.
It says confidential work product on the
list. It does.
But this was all public information, correct? This was a reporting of public open negotiations, and my apologies, I did not see confidential work product, but it is my understanding that that was stated publicly at open negotions, the part that I shared
so,
with the
so
board.
So this reinforces my
Miller.
Point that we're rapidly moving into an area where this is negotiation that is inappropriate because we're negotiating both sides of an issue and no longer negotiating in the best interest of this district. It is my opinion that we move forward with the impasse until and unless the JCEA wishes to come to the table. If they wish to provide us with a list of specific requests to come back to the table, we can certainly rule on that, but we are not going to sit here and argue for what they will need to come back to negotiations.
I just wanted to state that Ms. Weber said at the very beginning that should we want to talk about salary increases, we probably could get them back to the table. Am I putting words into your mouth?
I did say that, and I do believe that's the case because mm-hmm. they've been, and I'm not guessing at that. It's clear when they came to the table with an expectation around steps that that's what they want to talk about is steps. I do believe they would be open to talking about other forms of compensation if they were close to equivalent. And we talked about the SAED portion at the negotiating table on Monday night, and they understand the idea that that can come from monies otherwise designated for compensation. So I think that there's still some room to talk. We may still be, at the end of the day, with a gap, but that depends upon, again, whatever decisions the board gives the district team about monies that are available.
Ms. Williams.
Will we be moving into executive session, or are we having a conversation about our budget and the holding places that we have for salary? Because if that's the case, I will weigh in. If we're moving to executive session, and that is the most appropriate place to have this conversation, then I say let's move into executive session.
Excellent. Per legal advice, we cannot discuss, or we will not discuss, the potential changing of those budget numbers because that would constitute an action in a session for which we do not have an agenda item for that action. And so we cannot go there presently. So once again, rather than trying to negotiate both sides of an issue, I'd like to see a specific statement from the JCEA concerning what would bring them back to the table, and then we can determine whether or not that is an appropriate action. Ms. Dahlke.
I would like to make a motion before the board to add an agenda item to tonight's agenda that takes a second look at the salary compensation placeholder on our budget chart that was prepared by Ms. Gillis.
Second. Is there discussion? I strongly believe we're continuing to move into territory of negotiating both sides of an issue. I do not believe we are behaving in the best interest of this district, and I am certainly opposed to changing those numbers without a clear statement from the JCEA of what would bring them back to the table. I do not want to suppose, and I certainly do not want to take a position for them.
My understanding of talking about the budget items would be that it would be the same kind of conversation that we had in front of many, many individuals last Thursday night. We're just rethinking this sheet. We're not rethinking negotiations.
We're rethinking the sheet specifically to bring them back to the table, which means we are now working both sides of the issue.
I have a very different perspective, which I know will not be surprising to you, regarding your point of, quote, working both sides of the issue. For me, it's not about that at all. For me, it's about bringing our district negotiations team back to the table with JCEA so we can work through these issues and find common ground so we can move forward. That's all that this is about. We're so close. And for this board to simply say, as you have said, that we're negotiating both sides of the issue, I think really doesn't capture, in fact, what we want to do, and that is that we want to come back to the negotiating table, negotiate in good faith, Doesn't mean we might not be back here to think these issues through, but we need to continue to move forward, not backwards.
Ms. Williams.
Another question for you. So again, if we're discussing budget issues and we're giving direction to our negotiators here, should we be doing that in executive session? If we're giving direction, that's one thing, but if we're just talking about the budget and a placeholder, that's something that wasn't on the agenda tonight and we shouldn't be discussing. So are we giving, and Mr. President, are we giving advice to our negotiators so they can give the mediator direction? If that's the case, then we probably need to move into executive session. If that's an open thing, then we need to vote on that.
Absolutely. That's right. We have a motion on the table and it's been seconded. We're presently discussing whether or not to add an agenda item to make a budget change in the present situation. We probably had enough roll call. It takes unanimity in an executive session to change the agenda item. So unless there's further discussion, roll call.
Ms. Delkamper?
Yes.
Ms. Feldman?
Yes.
Mr. Newkirk?
No.
Ms. Williams?
No.
Mr. Witt?
No. So at this point, I believe, is everyone satisfied that we have been fully informed on the impasse process? Because that was the starting point of this discussion. Do we feel like we understand what the next steps are? Ms. Williams?
Will you just run through it one more time? Because we're going into mediation first.
Sure.
And then, yeah, thank you.
Sure. The contract lays out the process starting in Section 5.5. And when an impasse has been declared, the parties, there's a process laid out in the contract for picking a mediator fact finder. And then the process is that that mediator fact finder would conduct mediation with both parties. And the contract does say that those meetings, or that mediator fact finder can establish the rules around how you do that, and the set dates for the hearings or the meetings, and that those meetings, the mediation meetings, will be conducted in closed sessions.
Who attends those meetings?
That would be up to the parties, really, to determine. The entire negotiating team from each side could, along with the mediator, or it could be individuals from each of those designated, or technically it could be other individuals as well, I suppose.
It's essentially the negotiating team. Some might be active, some might not.
Correct.
Mr. Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Witt. So my interpretation of reading this, I absolutely agree that under 5.6.4, it contemplates having a second person work solely as a fact finder, but starting in 5.5.1, it's contemplated that it's a mediator fact finder. So if you are not also, if you don't have the ability to serve as a fact finder, that you would be disqualified from serving in that role, because this contemplates that you would have to be able to serve as both, even if the parties decide not to have you serve in the second role as fact finder.
So I guess we were interpreting that by looking at the 5.6.3, 5.6.4. We will do what the board desires. If you prefer a mediator fact finder, there's an entire piece of this contract that outlines how to get to that 5.5.1.1, 5-5-1-1. I'm happy to go through that process. It involves us coming up with a list of five, them coming up with a list of five, all of those things. Our recommendation to use Mr. Daugherty is based on the idea that we believe that the intent of this contract is to try and reach voluntary agreement when we can, and we believe that using Mr. Daugherty will be in the best interests of us doing that. But again, this is your process, and we need to hear from you about your direction for the team. If we close the meeting tonight and we have no direction on what the next steps are, I would suggest that that's not the best place to end. And even if we were to agree with mediation and using Mr. Daugherty, we have yet to get any kind of direction that gives us any new data or information about the compensation item. And so we're not really even going to be in a very good spot to be able to have those conversations in a meaningful way, even using mediation. So again, I would encourage you to think about how you're going to have those conversations in a meaningful way to give us the direction that we need to move forward in either of those scenarios.
And just to be clear, there's absolutely nothing in the contract which would prohibit the parties from agreeing to use someone who was only going to serve as a mediator. Absolutely nothing in the contract that would prohibit that. It would require perhaps, though I'm not sure that I agree with Mr. Sparks' interpretation, but at least it's arguable that it would require the agreement of the parties to go down that road. But certainly, if the parties agreed to do it, there's nothing in the contract that would prohibit the parties from doing that.
Yes, and the process that's laid out here would certainly allow us to arrive at using the same mediator that we presently have. It simply creates the dialogue to make certain that that's in fact what both parties
Correct.
Want. So I don't see a hitch there. I would like to see, and I'd like to know whether or not there are other board members who share my view, I would like to see a statement from JCEA about specifically what it would take to get them back to the negotiating table. I would love to see them come back to the negotiating table. We have an $11.7 million placeholder for compensation, which meaningful discussion should occur around how to work that. We've already voted on that number, and that number is presently in place. We cannot vote on it tonight to change that number, but we can certainly have the dialogue, the negotiation dialogue with the JCEA on what to do with that number. I am disappointed that that dialogue has not happened. If the simple answer from them is it's not big enough, then I need to know what it takes to get them back to the table so we can determine whether or not we're willing to do that. I am not willing to have this board argue for them on what it will take for them to come back to the table. We did not declare impasse, and I'm strongly disappointed, but now I'm required to deal with the fact that the JCEA has chosen to declare impasse and leave the negotiating table. Ms. Dahlkemper.
Mr. Witt, we know the answer to that question, and Ms. Weber talked about it. Again, I don't think we
then
can stress...
Then they will have no trouble putting it in writing and letting us know what it is.
I don't think we can stress this enough. We talked about some ideas regarding salary. We know that the amount that they're looking at is the equivalent of a salary step. There's been no secret about that. We tried to come up with ideas regarding 2 to 3%. Looking at 2.5%. I asked Ms. Weber specifically if that would allow us some room to bring them back to the table. I think you can certainly ask JCEA what it would take to get them back to the table. It seems to me we know the answer to it. So certainly we can do that, but why? I guess I would wonder why we would waste time.
I don't believe we're wasting time. I believe we need to not argue for them. I believe we need to hear from them.
No one is
I would like to hear
them.
From them at a negotiating table, but since they've chosen to walk away from it, I now must get a formal communication from them on what it would take to bring them
I'm
back.
I'm happy to ask, and I'm confident that they'll give us a response. They've been
so do we need to do anything else
things.
Until we have that?
Yeah.
I don't believe we can. I am presently in a situation, we as a board are presently in a situation of impasse. We can guess what it will take to bring them back to the table, but we need to get a statement from them on what it will take to get them back to the table. We cannot, in this meeting, change that budget item without adding an agenda item, so we need to do that in another meeting. I would like to be informed about what we have to do so we can make a clear decision about whether we can take the action that will bring them back to the table, or if in fact we can't take that action conscionably and we will proceed with impasse.
So if I get that statement from them, just so that the board understands, we're still needing some direction from you on where you see salary conversations going. We also are going to need to hear from you. There's some give and take and back and forth on the contract extension that they've requested. And we're also going to have some conversation around some of the ideas around association league, because we have talked about at the table. So we will need further direction before we can go back to the table or mediation to be productive as your team.
And I would be delighted to do that. I can't do it right here, right now. I would love to, but I need to know what it takes to get them back to the table. Then we determine whether we are negotiating or whether we are mediating. And when we have that determination, then we can act appropriately. Ms. Williams.
I'm not sure if I would be willing to vote for additional funds under the 11.
That's why I need to know what it takes, right? That may not be the request. We're guessing.
And I'd really appreciate hearing from other members of the board on that. So thank you, Ms. Williams.
And with that, I believe that ends discussion on this agenda item tonight. And being an executive session, a special session, that is the last item. This meeting, Ms. Williams.
So at this point, we're closing the meeting. and we're not giving any of our folks any direction on where we're going from here until we have that piece of paper. Correct?
I don't know how to do that without arguing the other side of the negotiation, and I'm not going to argue the other side of the negotiation. Do you have a different view, Ms. Williams? I'm trying to interpret. What are your thoughts?
That's fair enough.
Okay. Then this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you for your time.